We're back to finish our conversation with Bharat Rocklin. And we spent a lot of time on your journey. I just, I love listening to the story. And I think
it's a great story.
It's a great story. And, you know, some of the teachers said, well, drop your story too.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
But it's not. It has great wisdom and teaching in it too, you know, and gives hope for other people even here. And you don't have to go to India necessarily to have your awakenings. But I read somewhere you said it's nice to have a guide or a teacher to do that.
Oh, I have found it's absolutely necessary.
So what do you do with these guys? They're gone. I mean, you know.
They're not gone.
Okay. All right. So the teacher doesn't have to be in form is what you're saying.
No.
Okay. The teaching.
But most people at some point need to see it in the form.
Yeah.
You know, we need that help.
It's the teaching when we're talking. And the presence. The presence that, the teaching guides you to the presence of that.
Yes.
Yeah. While you were doing all this, I read some of the material that you started to do tarot.
Yes.
And that led to palmistry even while you were in India. How did that come about? What got you into palmistry?
Well, you know, when I was living the sannyas social life, all of us were into the new age esoteric scene. And it happened for me, I had gone back to New York and I was running the Nanda Rajneesh Meditation Center for about a year there. And one day this woman showed up, her name was Sonia, my prim Sonia, with her daughter, and she hitchhiked across the country, and she was a tarot card reader. So through her, after some time, something transpired between us where I woke up one morning and I looked at the tarot cards and I absolutely understood them, like from not being able to speak French to being able to speak French the next day. So I had received a transmission of knowledge from this woman. And this was in India that this happened. And from that time on, I was a tarot card reader. So I was going around giving readings, mm-hmm. you know.
And then the connection to palmistry?
And then I got interested in palmistry in a really funny way, because I was just seeing some guy at a party giving readings and I got jealous that he had all the girls around him. So I said, okay, I'm going to also learn palmistry. So I bought a few books and I started reading and analyzing my own hand. And then I saw, wow, this is totally spot on. So then I made a very systematic study of palmistry, which I've been doing for the last 20 years.
20 years.
Yes.
And that's led to the book.
And that led to the book.
It seems to me that many people have preconceived ideas also about palm reading. For example, that it may be hokey, that it's connected with gypsies, that it's a form of fortune telling.
Yes.
And a bit comic bookish and maybe not accurate.
Well, no, it's very palmistry is actually very scientific.
Okay.
The first written treatise in the West about palmistry was written by Aristotle, believe it or not. He wrote an article about it. It was extremely accurate. And somewhere like astrology, over the years, there's been a correlation recognized between the lines and certain characteristics that a person might have.
Yeah.
So it can be very scientific, in fact.
Yeah.
And the way I see palmistry and the lines and the palm and the shape of the palm, it is like a biocomputer printout of our different energy fields, our psychological, our physical, our emotional, mental bodies.
Yeah, I like what you said in the introduction to the book. The lines of the palm are not stagnant or fixed. They are constantly changing and reforming.
Yes.
And the mounts become bigger and smaller depending on the momentary energy levels. If the nerves leading to the palm are cut, the lines disappear.
Yes, that's true.
And you called it, you describe it as a biocomputer readout of energy patterns.
Yes.
And I found your reading, and so did Elizabeth, but particularly, you know, because I can speak for myself, as quite accurate.
Yes.
What else here? Let's see. The palm is also labeled in the book, and it kind of ties into some astrology. Do you mix the two together when you do a palmistry?
Not too much. The palm is labeled by planets, and there is a slight correlation with astrology readings.
Mm-hmm.
And very often, after I give somebody a palmistry reading, they'll say, oh, I just been to this astrologer, and he told me the same thing. So my readings are are like a palmistry astrology readings.
Yeah, you know, very.
They get the same basic information.
How do past lives fit into this? Because when you were doing my palm, you were kind of going back and forth between the left and right palm and reading and doing some measurements, which right. I thought was very interesting. Is everything contained in both palms? And
everything is contained in both palms. And, you know, my belief and where I come from is that everything exists all the time in a oneness. So the past life, present life, and future life are all here right now. So reading contains all of this. So I see past lives. I see how a person has entered into the body. I see past life karma. I see, you know, what process a person is going through in this life and what directions they're going through or will be going through.
Yeah, and this is always in my life, the discussions of destiny and choice, or, you know, free will and predestination. And so when you look at somebody's palm and you see this history, whether it's past lives, this life, whatever, do you see it as they have a path to travel from that point that is fixed, or they have some free will?
Well, I feel that there, you know, everything is fixed. Mm-hmm. But even though people can be given by existence freedom mm-hmm. to make choice, and then they do have choice, that they individually have choice to make, but mm-hmm. that is also their destiny. Mm-hmm. Some people are more fixed than others. People who have very, very strong Saturn lines, who have very strong balance lines or fortune lines, these people have very fixed lives. They cannot deviate even from raising their hand or going to the kitchen. They cannot change their lives. And other people have more freedom when their lines are not so fixed, when lines are broken. So this, which actually I look for in terms of experiencing truth, when there's not such a fixation of lines, then a person has the potential to experience what's beyond the mind body personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lines can change.
Oh, lines are constantly changing.
Changing, and about frequency.
Even reinstruction, even the major lines can reinstruct you. Like the beginning of my, because I look at my palm quite often. The beginning of my lifeline totally restructured. Uh-huh. So things that you would feel would be fixed or not. Yeah.
You also in the early part of palmistry. The book, these are some of the things you can tell.
Right.
Yeah, so I think this is a big part of, you know, a concluding discussion here. Right. We could get into my palm or Elizabeth's palm. We'll see if we have some time. But right. We just talked about past life tendencies. The love of the mother and the role of the father.
Yes, it's very clear in the palm.
Uh-huh. So if somebody in Elizabeth's case... you were talking about the love or the lack of love being related to bent fingers. Is that right?
Lack of development in the childhood, yes.
Yeah.
That's very accurate, in fact. How the fingers are bending, if they're bent or straight, is very accurate.
Yeah. And but that can change, right?
It can change, yes.
You talked about her having great luck.
Yes, there are certain signs in the auspicious signs in the hand that are very accurate.
Which means one in her case could relax a little bit and not worry so much,
yes.
Because you'll always, as she is the example of the yes. cat being dropped, you'll always land on your
right.
feet.
She has extreme luck, and if she's not seeing her life as being lucky, then she has to seriously refocus mm-hmm. and look at it that she sees everything as luck.
Now, you can get into the weakness in physical organs and predisposition to
yes,
disease.
Yes, I'm actually surprised that medical practitioners don't use the palm more, because it's very accurate.
Uh-huh.
It's very accurate.
Yeah, well, they're probably concerned about how they would be judged uh-huh. using
yes.
that.
Yes, I think actually there is a book called Medical Palmistry where uh-huh. somebody has gone into it. But it is very accurate, health indications.
Yeah. Challenges in life?
Challenges in life. Yeah. That's definitely imprinted.
Mm-hmm. You have another one: honesty and whether a person lives in a dream world.
Right.
How do you read that?
Well, you know, classically, the mercury finger, which is the pinky finger, if that finger is bent in, you know, 200-300 years ago, if you read a palmistry book, they would say the person was a liar.
Really?
You know, and then if you have a very intuitive headline to go along with that, that might be a little bit broken or have some islands, then the person would have, usually has some delusions of reality of seeing the world through colored glasses.
And dominating life issues. So really, you can really be a guide for somebody.
Right. Dominating the life issues are very much shown in the hand.
And of course, I mentioned this idea of fortune telling. Some people don't even want to know because they're worried that maybe their fortunes aren't going to be so good. But like in the case of you reading my palm, you were saying, well, you have a long history of abundant success. And,
yes.
And, you know, don't worry about this lifetime, although yes, it seems to be a condition for me to
worry.
to worry about, you know, finances and, you know, making sure the business keeps going. And that's some, I don't know, lack of confidence in knowing who I am.
Yes.
Yeah. Although I have a sense of this presence that we've been talking about, and I've been able to relax more in the later years than in my earlier years.
Yes.
When I was not unlike you, being born into a more neurotic culture and a lot of self-worth issues early in my life as
yes,
a teenager and even as I evolved, you know.
Mm.
Well, let's see. Is there anything that we need to say here in summary? I think I've covered a lot. Somebody wants a reading, you do those.
Yes, and I also will be offering a courses in with Teach Palmistry.
Okay.
Which is so it becomes very, very in depth for the person, for the participant to get their hand fully analyzed.
So I know you're traveling, and I'll be giving out your current phone number as
right,
a way to reach you.
Right. Well, one thing we didn't say that, you know, I use palmistry as a tool,
yeah,
and I sit down with a person and we focus our consciousness, and then something can arise from that. Some deep question can, or answer can arise, some understanding can arise. And I'm very into, like, you know, a person should walk away feeling satisfied that, you know, this is why I come to you and this is what I want to happen. It might not happen,
mm-hmm,
but that is also something. Sometimes understanding doesn't happen, but most of the time it does. And when it doesn't, that's the message,
yeah,
you know, as well. So,
well, you have to deliver the truth as best you can see it.
Yeah.
That's the best you can give to somebody.
Yeah. I say what comes through.
Yeah.
You know, okay, and I trust what I say, you know, that this is what the person needs to hear.
And one can also purchase the book, which is
right,
well documented. You can start with
right,
your own palm.
I think it's very good reading. I enjoy reading it myself.
It's a good sign.
Means. But you know, there's interpretations in my book, and that you won't find in any other palmistry book.
Okay, and it is called Palmistry.
And it's called Palmistry. Yes.
A comprehensive and reflective guide for the study and practice of palmistry. And it's been great hanging out. We'll stay in touch.
Right.